When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You're listening to a Rare Drop podcast. Check us out at raredrop.co.
Well, hello, everyone. My name is Rakari Austin, and I'm one of the hosts of GCX 2022. That's right. We're already talking about next year. Now, we want you to join us at Rosen Shingle Creek in Orlando, Florida, as we come together for another unforgettable GCX. Tickets are going fast, and look, we want to see you. So visit gcxevent.com/tickets to book now.
As the seasons change, so do our selections. The seasonal selections from King's Coast Coffee Company are custom roast sourced and selected to pair with the changing of the seasons. We take the time to source and pair up coffees that reflect the current season and are roasted to highlight tasting notes that pair with the season on hand. Here for a while, then making way into the next, this is a great roast to try on its own or make any coffee subscriber happy. Hey guys, welcome into episode 23 of Coffee and Shell, the NHL Hut podcast. I'm Sleeves, joined by my co-host Kesso, and we'll start like we normally do. Kesso, what's been going on? What have you been up to?
Dude, we just got back from the new Batman movie. Amazing. Everything I wanted it to be. Was super hyped for it. Definitely no spoilers. I was talking about it on stream. People were like, please don't talk about that on the Coffee and Shell podcast. But it was great. Something funny happened last night. There's this guy on my Twitch channel on Thursday telling me he's in Buffalo. And he's like, hey, you got to go to this restaurant in Pittsburgh. I hear it's really good. And I'm like, okay, what is it? He tells me about it. It's like 40 minutes away. So I tell my wife, I was like, hey, we should go here this weekend, you know, check it out. It has like 4.9 out of 5 stars on Google. It looks really good. The menu looks great. So we drive there last night. And we get there, and on Google, it says it's like, you know, it's open from like whatever to 9 p.m. We get there, and it's like in this like rundown building, and it's just literally like not open. Like there's a little sign for it. You could tell that it's maybe it's open sometimes, but we get there, we drive 40 minutes, it's not open. So whoever that was, I hope you knew it was closed and it was like a joke and you got me because that would be hilarious. But I think maybe they were just closed for the day. I hope that's the case. Yeah, it was kind of funny though.
Did you salvage it or what? Did you just turn around and go home?
Yeah, the thing that sucked, dude, is because we were far from our house and I was starving. Like we ate breakfast and then it was like, you know, 6 or 7. So like I was just really hungry. So we were like, what about the Cheesecake Factory? Do you guys have the Cheesecake Factory in Canada?
We don't, but we might in Toronto. Okay. I don't want to say we don't have it at all. But I lived in Buffalo and there is one in Buffalo.
Yeah, it's like it's very generic, but it's good. You know, like it's chain.
It's like a step up from Applebee's.
Yes. So we're like, yeah. Oh, we'll go there. So we go there. It's like a 2.5 to 3 hour wait. So I'm like, OK, not going to eat. I don't know how it's a 2.5 to 3 hour wait. It makes no sense to me because it's not that good. You know,
I feel like that's got to be tough, too, because like you have an hour, like, you know, everyone eats for about an hour. How many people are backed up that are going to wait the hour and then go in and then eat? Like, that's wild.
So my theory is that the workers there, the people that are working at the front desk, right, or whatever, it's the hostess stand that they have there.
They don't want
They don't want a lot of people, right? Because there weren't a lot of people inside waiting, maybe like 10 people. I think they have like a game with themselves to like, hey, you know, how long can we tell people to wait and they'll actually stick around? So like, you know, they told us 2.5 to 3 hours. So that's like their max now. Yeah. And then like once that hits the next person, they'll be like 3.5 to 4 hours. And if that person will, yeah. So we end up getting like this good Chinese restaurant, the Sesame Inn in the North Hills in Pittsburgh for the Pittsburgh people that, you know, listen to the podcast. Always solid. What about you? What have you been up to?
So today, usually Sunday, spend it with, we usually do something with my dog. So like last week I had a little nice little date with my pup, but this week, Skyla bought, so we haven't built our new fence yet. So my backyard, like the driveway, like goes into my backyard. Mm-hmm. So like she can get out and she's still not, old enough to, when she's off leash, be like, see ya. Like the second that she's like, you know what I mean? She takes and she just doesn't go far. She sniffs and then, you know, I walk up to her and she like looks at me and then she's like, Ryan, like just runs away. Like, but only like 10 more feet. Like I hate it. So she got her like this 50-foot leash. So we went to this big park near our house threw the ball around, let her be a dog a little bit. You know, I feel like it doesn't happen enough where you just get to run a ton. She's been kind of sick lately though. Full energy, eats all the time, drinks all the time. Nothing's out of the ordinary, but hasn't been going to the bathroom very well, if you know what I mean. So we're taking her to the vet tomorrow. So, I hate it because like literally anything's wrong with this thing. I love her so much that I'm like, she's like it looks like a glass to me. And I'm just like, please, 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 like everything be okay. Like,
yeah.
So I'm going to take her to the vet tomorrow. I think she'll be fine. I think she probably just is like needs like a dewormer or something. I don't know.
You got nice weather today, right?
Dude, it was like 60 Fahrenheit. It was something else, but it was so windy. Dude, okay, would you take a hot day, but it's really windy, or like one where you got to wear a hoodie, no wind?
Hoodie, no wind.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. How much would you rather have it be rainy or overcast?
Overcast, 1,000%, right? Don't agree?
Overcast is the worst.
I know, but the rain sucks.
You walk outside. Yeah, but at least you know. Like, it's a bad day. Dude, trying to do something in overcast is literally the most depressing thing ever. And not to mention, you got to wear sunglasses because you're doing, like, this the whole...
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's so bright, but, like, it's not that bright and it's gloomy. I hate it. I hate overcast. I'd rather just rain. Like, just rain.
I mean, I feel you on that. We did the same thing this morning, though. Not the... we didn't have, like, a ball or anything, but we took Bella for a long walk this morning. Because it was just great. And it felt good. Like, I noticed, like, my wife and I, like, our moods this weekend, like, improved tenfold because it was, like, yesterday we had, like, the windows open. It was nice outside. This morning we, like, woke up, had some leftover Chinese, took the dog for a walk. Like, it was perfect. Perfect Sunday morning.
How is Bella? Is she crate trained?
She is, yeah. And she's actually really good with it.
How often does she sleep throughout the day?
How often does she sleep, like, throughout the day?
Yeah.
So 2 days a week, she goes to doggy daycare, right?
Thinking about that.
Yeah. So listen, let me tell you, it's great. Like, it's just, I do it on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And it's nice. Like, those days I get a lot of, like, work done, whatever done. Like, I don't have to worry about, like, oh, let me get up. Let me put her somewhere, whatever. Whenever I am home, sometimes I let her sleep into, like, 10 a.m. I get her up. I put her outside and then Henry will be like either in his room or maybe he'll be outside and she'll be inside. And I kind of give her access to like the living room and then like just like my like the hallway here in my room. So like I always keep an ear open, you know, so she sleeps straight through from like 11 p.m. to like 10 a.m.
Yeah, dude, like it's pretty crazy. Like some are always like she can only sleep in like hour and maybe an hour and a half long increments throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
But like a, like 10-ish to like 7 a.m. she's like out solid. We bought her a new so German Shepherds are really bad with like chewing, like they bite everything, like that's like all puppies are, but German Shepherds specifically are really bad with it. And we've had a really hard time. We have the biggest crate you could buy. So like the extra large dog size, so that she can fit in there, stand up with her ears not being like pressed up against. It's actually something to pay, like, you have to pay attention to, because you don't want their ears to not stand up. And like, if they have a crate that's not big enough and their ears are forced down, it can like actually make them where they don't stand up all the way.
Okay.
So like, somebody consider. Anyways, I don't remember where I was going with this, but we bought them. So we've been trying to find like doggy beds. So we bought her one that fits the thing dimensions perfectly. It looks comfy, but it was like a carpet kind of, and immediately tore it. Like first like time that we put her in her crate, and she just tore it apart. So I went and found, I was like, this sucks. She has this one blanket that she doesn't really do it to. So that's what we kind of use, but it just like, it sucks. Cause it's like a hard, you know, like plastic bed that's on the bottom of the crate. Right. Mm-hmm. We went and bought this one from Kong, which is a pretty good dog. Like,
oh yeah, dude, they're a great brand.
Yeah, exactly. So I found this one when I took her to get her nails clipped at this PetSmart, and, it's not like Teflon, but it's like this material that you literally, like, you can't tear, really. Like, yeah. She probably could if she really wants to, and she might. So we took her out for this walk, then we took her to PetSmart, and I got to bed for her with my wife, and then we went back home, and she was already pretty tired because we let her run around everywhere. Put her this thing in there, and I'm like, man, I hope she doesn't bite this and ruin it. Anyway, because it was like $120. And I look on the Blink camera, so we have a Blink camera in the crate, because we have a crate cover. Do you cover your crate?
I do, yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah, that's how you have to do it. And I look, pull up the thing. Me and Scott are sitting down on the couch, and she's just like zonked out like within a second. Oh, I'm like, good. This looks so comfy. I was like, okay, at least that's working for her.
Yeah.
Dude, so like, I'm getting old, bro. Like, there's just no way around it. I've been telling you, like, and everyone else, like, I just haven't been feeling well. Something's not right. I'm just drained and tired all the time, no matter how much sleep I went. So I went and got my blood checked. And like, everything's good, except I have like high liver enzymes. I don't even know what that means.
Yeah.
But I don't drink, really. Like, I drink super casually. Like, I don't, like, if I see my friends once a month, maybe, because it's like one of their kids' birthdays or something, that's essentially what it is. And maybe I'll have a drink then. But like, so it's not that. So, which is bad, because if it was, you know, if I was drinking like a couple times a week, then like it makes sense. So I got to go back, get that tested. But like, that's like a, you know, it kind of sucks. Like, you know, it's, you know, you're older, you don't know what's wrong with me. So.
Yeah. What does that even mean, though? The liver?
It could be a couple things. So like, you know, you might have a bad reaction to like Advil and Tylenol. Mm-hmm. You know, you might have, might be a thyroid issue still. Like, I think that's what my problem is, but I have to go and get like that specifically checked. Could be something worse. I don't know. But, you know, hopefully it gets all solved. I go away in like 2 weeks. So I'm low key like,
dude,
excited.
I think
not
you
really.
Need the recharge, though. I really do. Like, I think you need the recharge, and then like to not even like have Tyler post whatever he needs to do for you. Right. Like, have stuff ready. And then I think you need to get away. I think you do. Like, it helps.
Yeah, like, especially with what's happened over the last, like, month, you know?
Yeah.
I am excited for that. My wife is the one that just desperately wants to go away, but it's only because she, like, needs to travel, like, once a year, and I'm not big on that.
Well, that's how my wife is. She's in my ear every day, like, I need a vacation.
Dude, that's
like,
what it was. Yeah. That's what it was. I was like, no, we're going away, and we're going away for, like, a convention that, like, I'm invited to from Rare Drop and King's Coast to a big gaming convention they run. So we're going to, like, Orlando, and, like, we're going to go to Disney World the day early, and then Cammy, CJ, his 30th birthday is in Vegas this year. We're going to go to that. So I was like, why are we going away? And then she, you know,
aren't really going away, you know. That's like, hey, I play video games.
To an extent. That's the thing.
Along.
Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, that's the kind of thing. Like,
I see where she's coming with it.
Yeah.
From.
So I was like, no, I don't want to. And then she did a really good job at work this year, I guess, and got blessed with like a nice like little bonus. So I was like, okay, I can't say no if you're going to front it. So
yeah.
You know, luckily enough, we're blessed enough to be able to go do that. That's why we haven't had kids yet. So to be able to, it's funny. We were both just talking before we came down here. I was like, I let my dog out because she usually sleeps like one more time from like 7 to 8.
Mm-hmm.
And I let her out just before I came and started recording this. We were both like, man, how are we going to leave her for a week?
Yeah.
We're like, oh, we're like those people now. Like
what's the dog's name again? Summer, right?
Summer. Yeah.
Yeah. What's she going to do?
She's going to stay at my mother-in-law. So my mother-in-law is like, she has a dog who's like insane and not trained and like a, I don't want to say a bad dog, but like
it's
she's
a bad
friendly,
dog. It's
but it's, yeah, like it's just not very good. They didn't train it, you know, it's a mess, but it's Summer's best friend. Like they go over there and they just play for 6 hours and they won't stop. and Summer like loses her mind when you say you're going to go to grandma's or like go see Willow. Like she just, yeah. She like knows it. Today was actually kind of fun because our breeder, we haven't seen her in about a month and a half, maybe. She was at the, so Summer is the second, was the second litter of this like blood or of this like generation of Summer's mom had one more litter prior, the A litter. And they, two of the dogs in that litter are having kids, like they're having puppies this first time. And so she was in St. Ca- she was in the city I'm in, and she messaged Skyla being like, oh, I'll come see you. I was like, okay. And she brought like her mom with her. And it's so funny because I post a picture on Twitter. Summer's mom is like, whenever I see her, I'm just like, I want you. Like, you're like, she's just this massive dog, doesn't jump, like, is so well trained and like just docile.
I want somebody to take that clip out of context there and just,
Yeah. And Summer's just so excited. Like, she acts so much like a puppy, and her, she just runs at full speed, but she's like 70 pounds. So she doesn't realize it yet, but she's just a puppy. Yeah. But yeah, we got a nice couple a picture side by side. I'm just like, man, you're a gorgeous dog. Like, I can't wait for Summer to be like two. Yeah, it was really nice to see. Like, it's so funny, like Summer is such a little baby. Like, she barks and is loud whenever she sees other dogs, but like, so Summer sees her mom Emma, and like Emma's walking around with this ball and just growls at her, and Summer just lays down immediately, and it's just like, oh, it's funny. Like, it was awesome. It was nice to see. But it's nice that like her mom, like the our breeder, has her in like, in, you know, so close by.
Yeah. There's something lame I have to share with you here.
Lay it on
so,
me.
So, dude, I had a busy month at work, which I've told you about a little
bit.
Like,
I was stressed. I was just
stressed, right? Like, every day it was something. Every day there's a lot going on. Like, a couple, like, working on the weekend a little bit at one time. And I was like, I have to figure things out, and I have to cut things out of my life too. Like, not cut things out of my life, but like focus on things. And it wasn't really like cutting things out. It was more of like, I'll explain it, right? So for the people watching the podcast, for the first time in my life, I bought a planner. All right. And I've never believed in these things. You have one, right? I've always believed in writing things down, but I've never had a planner. I've operated my whole life,
bro.
Operated my whole life just up here in the head. I know what I need to do. And it got to the point between school work and like this stuff and whatever else. It was just too much. So I'm trying to like organize this stuff to where it's like every week, and it's a nice notebook. Every week there's like three things that you have to get done, right? You write that at the top. And then I try to follow that every day too. Like, no matter what, these are the three things, whether it's for work or maybe something on here, I'm gonna finish. I've been trying to do some easy ones too. What's that noise?
I don't hear a noise. Are you good?
Oh, it's my house.
Yeah. I'm trying to look at my bookcase right now. It's I think it's either the Grant Cardone book, or maybe it's a Gary Vaynerchuk book.
I hope it's not him, Gary V, because I had that one too. But that's what I'm trying to do.
It follows that thing though. Like a millionaire's mindset is they find three tasks, and it's like, or your most important task that you need to get done in the day. And then you write everything out, and you don't move on to the next one until you finish the first one.
Yeah.
Like, right? I don't know. I don't remember what. I'm very big on like self-help stuff. Like, I used to be,
but I hate those people in a way too, because I just
when
have
you
this.
You see them now, yeah.
Yeah. And I have this like stubbornness in me, or I feel like anybody, once they reach a certain amount of success, can put out one of those books. And no matter what you say, it's a common sense. I could write a self-help book right now. And it would be true. I'm just not a millionaire, so give me 5 years, right?
You just described my YouTube channel.
Like, dude, it's...
You just described...
Yeah.
You get big enough until it's just common sense.
Yes. It's all common
sense.
I'm just
kidding. Make sure you watch my YouTube channel.
Yeah, right? Like, there's like that rich dad, poor dad guy, which he is a complete fraud. Gary Vee, he has a great energy about him. But a lot of it's common sense.
Completely impractical as well.
Yeah. So like, I don't like those things, but it's always kind of been my goal to eventually write one of those books.
Same.
Like, I
would love to write a Twitch one or a content creator one.
Yeah. Right. And there's so many things. And I guess this is kind of off topic to where I began, but it also is part of my goal. There's this one list. There's like shitty Pittsburgh magazine that goes out, and it's like Pittsburgh 30 under 30. Right. And it's like these stupid people that like, you know, this guy's a lawyer and he graduated from somewhere. And he's like, these are the 30 people under 30 years old that, you know, you got to know in Pittsburgh. So I'm 28. I'm turning 29 next month. I only have one more year to get on this list. OK, so I got to do something in this next year. But the reason I wanted to be on there is because I don't like those people. You know, their dad knew somebody, or they work at the company their dad worked at, or whatever this. And it's all just entitlement and all this stuff. So I think all of that stems, my dislike for the self-help books, my dislike for this list that I want to be on, all stems from that, right?
Fair enough. I have a hard time having a conversation with someone that I don't respect not like an intellectual level, but I guess like an intellectual level to an extent. Like if someone is extremely knowledgeable in something that I'm interested in, I will literally listen or read a book or read many books ad nauseum, because I just like finding people that know what I like, that do it far better, and then I want to emulate them. Mm-hmm. That is really like what I've like, you know, for example, like, I mean, even my like content creation, like I basically just did what Harris Heller and Gary Vee told me to. Like, I read all and did and watched all their stuff.
Because you read was it the first Gary Vee book?
I read all seven.
Okay. I remember reading one years ago. Yeah.
It was very different back like 4 years ago, what Gary Vee was putting out, because it was relevant, because he hadn't exploded where like everyone knows who he is. And now he's like into Bitcoin and like all NFTs and all that.
I read him in college, and that was 7 years ago.
Yeah, like his first book, I think Crushing It, is like, I'm looking at it right now. I think it's like 8 or 9 years old. It might be.
That's the one I read.
Yeah, it's green, and then he has another one. Or he has one called Crush It, and then Crushing It, and then he has a bunch of other ones. And it was like a lot of like how to be more effective on Twitter. So for example, like when I was growing my Twitter, like in 2018, 19, every morning after I would go to the gym and I was eating my breakfast, I would search NHL 22 or NHL 18's hashtag. And I would just reply to literally every single person. I wouldn't follow, but I would just reply to like what they were posting about the game. And then probably if I replied to 50 people, I would get 37 follows, because on Twitter, people are so stunned when they don't have a following and they get replies, like interaction. Yeah. Like when people, you know what I mean? So people have like, you know, 10 followers and they follow 200 people. When someone replies, they're like, oh my God. And like, that's how I grew my Twitter before I even had like a really decent YouTube channel and like that. Like, so things like that, he was really good at, but now it's like very generalized stuff. Like you're right. What he does now is he like assaults every social media platform with content, whether it's good or not, but like he'll put like 7 TikToks out in a day, and maybe one of them has like something that's like, okay, that makes sense. But like a lot of it's just posting just to post.
Yeah.
And that's an effective way to do it. I mean, like honestly, how my YouTube channel got big and how it stays like decent is I literally just post at exceptional amount, more than anyone. Like that was what I did last year. I put 470 videos out in a year. That's more than one a day, right? Like that was all I did, was I just made sure. And you see people like Eki who have great numbers on YouTube and whatnot, but he's only putting up like 4 videos a day. He might get 20,000 views on that video that he puts out, right? I'm putting out like, you know, 3 in a day, and they each get 5 a mm-hmm. day. And it's just like, that's how I kept it going. But the problem is, I don't know if people are interested in YouTube stuff, but like the problem is now if I don't put out a video in a day, numbers go like this, because my content is very like,
in the moment. Yeah.
Relevant. Yeah, it's in the moment. A lot like Keemstar, for example. Like, you know, like news, like that kind of stuff. Like, that's what a lot of my content is. But that's why I have like videos that I make at the beginning of the year of like strategies and tips and things like that. Those are big, which is what your channel is growing. That, I mean, yeah, I don't know if you followed what I said, but like that's.
No,
that's,
and I did. And I wish there's times where I wish I'd put my pride to the side, right? Because you know what type of person I am. Mm-hmm. And it's like there's things I realized that I was doing wrong early on this year in YouTube. Where it's like, you know, I don't care about the thumbnail, I don't care about the title. My content's so good, people will find it, right? And that's just not true. I had a guy comment on my YouTube channel today. It's like, wow, I wish I would have found this like 5 months ago. Like these are amazing. I can't believe this is on YouTube. And it's like, if I would have like improved on the marketing aspect of it instead of just focusing on the content side, things might have gone better. They've gone amazing so far, right? Like they've gone really good. But like sometimes I'm just thinking like content's the only thing that matters when it's not.
I'll tell you this though, like the content is like what you're doing, like, you know, like obviously you could have done things better, still the most important thing. Like I wouldn't have switched it around if I was you. Like, you know,
oh, I
mean?
Agree
like,
with you. Yeah, I yeah. agree there. I agree there. Completely.
There's lots of things that'll come. Like I was making my thumbnails and they were awful for like up until last year before I found Tyler. You know yeah. what I mean? And like things like that, like, you know. But
no, but shout out to Tantalizing Nathan, because he does my thumbnails. he's improved a ton. Like, he just sent me one for a video I want to put out this week, and it actually is like really nice. And like, I like to keep mine in the same style. I like the, like, you know, whatever. They might not be as good as yours. Obviously yours, because you have a guy that works for the NHL doing them. But like, you know, like stuff like
Thank
that.
Thank you, Tyler.
Like, right. But he's improved a lot. So that's helped too. We're both learning together. So that's the fun part about it.
I would love for you to try one in the next tip video. Take a screenshot in game, like a nice one, like zoom in, get a nice zoom in, and then put text over it, whatever text you're gonna try that for the next tip video.
We just did that for the last tip video. We had an in-game screenshot, but it was like a pink and blue overlay a little bit, so it was transparent, and it's been my best performing video by like 50% so far.
That's all my thumbnails were back in the day. I would just take a screenshot of something, and then I would use cooltext.com. And I would literally make the title of it. If you go back and look at my channel, it was awful.
Yeah.
But yeah. All right. Let's discuss some HUD, I guess.
Yeah. So I think we should. I think today we should talk about, before we get into anything,
let's talk about what we're going to talk about.
Yeah. Because we never do that. We never do that. So now today I think we should talk about the leakening, whatever you want to call it.
HUDgate.
I came up with that term.
You did.
We should talk about GWC.
Yeah, we'll talk about GWC.
We can talk about the new event.
Yeah.
And then if there's anything else we want to talk about. But those are the three main ones.
Let's start with the HUT leaks. Let's explain it a little bit for people that don't understand. And forewarning, we are not going to tell you what the leaks were because that, you know, to be honest, I'm sad that I saw them. Because as a content creator, I'm livid because the amount of it that just sucked any excitement out of the next month and a half.
Yeah.
So for anyone that doesn't know, basically cards that were supposed to be master sets were released. The card art was put into the, I guess I should explain how it happens. Okay. When you see a patch, okay, a game patch, again, I'm pulling the curtain back here. I mean, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but I'm going to say it anyways. When you see a patch that comes out, has very little in the game. So I think this had one gameplay update and it didn't even make sense. And then it was like these new jerseys got added in. 99% of the time when you see a patch like that, because it's like, why would they waste their time on that? It's because they need to release a patch to put new card art in the game, because they can't add in new cards and new card art just like what they do with like
they actually have to
use a patch to put this new card art in the game. It needs to be uploaded to the server, so usually it's backdoored and you don't see it, and so then when the new event comes out, they can just bam, here's the new cards. So I don't know if this is new this year, but because all of the overalls on every card is not tied to the graphic of the card, so in prior years I'll use the Lit versus Grid event, it was 89 to 90s, right? They couldn't go to 91 because the card art had the number drawn on. So they would have had to drawn like, you know, 20 different card art. So obviously that's not like, not realistic. What's the word? Like,
time efficient. I don't know.
Yeah. Cost efficient. Yeah. It's not cost effective. So this year, what they did was, now if you look in the cards, they have like very generic overall numbers and they can just go up and down as much as they want. So I don't know if this is new this year, but obviously the card art for the next four events got put into the game, and they didn't realize that either they needed to revert back to the base card art for the cards, or they didn't, you know, hit a button to hit like, you know, hide. And what was happening is all of these cards were basically, they replaced the base card of the master set player. Now, the issue with that is that when you have an 82 overall card, that's the base of the card, but the master set's going to be like 97, everyone can pull it very easily.
Yeah.
So it exploded. And we're not talking one event. We're talking like three or four events all got leaked and
all of the MSPs.
The next 2.5 months probably was leaked. And the only excitement for Hockey Ultimate Team that we're getting right now, and you see it on Twitch specifically, is, you know, Twitch's numbers, not just mine, everyone's will explode via when the new events come out, because everyone wants to see what the new events are, the new card art, what new cards are going to be in. Like, that's the fun part of Ultimate Teams. And man, is the wind right out of the sails, because it's like, now we know who they are. We don't know what overalls they'll be or what abilities they'll have, but we know who they are. And so that happened. And it's like, we say this every patch. I don't know how this is allowed to go on and continue. Like, a company, if you, your job, again, I'm not exposing a lot, but you're in charge of like reporting of like, or, you know, projections. Like if you came out and you were way off the mark, you know, or you emailed your projections to everyone in your company, you're in a lot of trouble. Yep. And more than likely not employed, you know. And now obviously this isn't huge, but guys, we're not overreacting. This patch was nothing except to get the new cards in the game.
Yeah.
And they scuffed that. Like, and again, like as a normal player, it's like, whatever. Okay. Like, you know what I mean? Like you guys listening, it's like not a big deal, but again, as a creator, like, so all my views, not just mine, like, I hate that because now I'm going to sound like a privileged, like, you know, my job is to create content. Obviously, if the consumer, my viewers' interest is down in the game, then I'm not going to get the same numbers. So the same thing goes for Thrash or Henrique, all everyone, like their views will just be down when it comes to covering new content. And it sucks. We didn't do anything wrong.
Like, yeah,
it was. You know, we didn't do anything wrong.
I'm shocked that this happened because we've had like leaks. I don't know how many events have happened so far in NHL. I want to say like maybe like 8 to 10. Maybe there's more than that. And I want to say like 70% of them have had a leak probably. But this was like future ones for every card.
This was nothing like this has ever happened, like ever. Yeah. Nothing will change. No one will be reprimanded. At least we don't know. I doubt it. But it's like, dude, it's like gameplay patches broke the game. And I don't mean like, oh, dude, you know, D2D one-timers going all the time now. Yeah. Or like the goalie, you know what I mean? Like, no, like it literally made the game loop and you got into freeze-offs. The game was broken. They had to release another patch that was a Band-Aid that removed features that they promised were in the game. Like every, and this one was literally just to get the new HUD content in. And it broke, and now we saw it all, and it's like, oh, sick. Like, you know, it's just, man, I want positives.
Hey, there was a positive for me. I got to see all the MSPs that are coming out, and I could decide, do I want to build this?
It's great for GWC players. Let's segue right into GWC. How about that?
Let's do that, because, like, if you were able to see the leaks, you could see all the MSPs that were coming out. We know now that every single card coming out is going to be 96 to 98 overall for the MSPs. So you could pretty much assume what their stats will be. You won't know their abilities. So based off the leaks, it was a good week to build the MSPs that came out because a lot of these players weren't, you know, super tall. They'll probably all have similar attributes. So building your team just got a lot easier.
I'll tell you this, man, like none of them that I saw, like I think that was more alarming. And again, we didn't see all of them. I'm sure that there is some that maybe weren't pulled or.
Maybe there are a couple then that we didn't see.
Well, we didn't know. For example, we're going all over the place. Let's talk about this event. So the four master sets, the social showdown that came out, it's just a 1 week event. Pretty cool. I like that. That was a cool event. We didn't know that Pedersen was one. Like it didn't get leaked, right? Like we saw and we didn't know Nash.
No, Pedersen did get leaked.
Pedersen got leaked? Nash did not. I know it did not.
No, Pedersen got leaked 2 days before. Because his X Factor was upgradable to 95 overall.
And you're right.
So it was a separate leak that leaked it.
Yes, you were right. Okay, you are correct in that one. The Nash wasn't, but everyone knew it was going to be Nash. Like that one was telegraphed, right?
Yeah.
Way to be Nasher to give all the GWC hopefuls just two banger cards.
So nice
cards.
Of him, right?
Well, I love it, bro. He doesn't. Yeah. I got all the flack for the last month about the game, and he's like, you boys want some banger cards? Here you go. Like,
literally the two best forwards in the game he just put out. Good for him.
All right, so let's talk about the four cards. So Pavel Barber was the other guy, the other influencer that got two cards, and Pavel Barber's awesome. And he released Omark and Pedersen, probably two of the worst master sets that we've gotten in terms of, like, usefulness. Omark looks fun. But just he's a worse Patrick Kane, so like that we just got right.
Mm-hmm.
And Pedersen always plays awful. He's like a left-handed.
He's only like 170 pounds.
Yeah, so you think it's 6'2" because like if he's over 6'1", he's a useful player, right? But he just weight matters, but not as much as height. But weight matters, and he's like a left-handed Marner. Like they just never play well in Hutt against like. You know, Division One guys, like that. You know, that kind of play. You know what I wish, man? Talking about, I'm so exhausted with like meta and stuff. It's like, I wish like Division like two or and below. It's just a completely different game. You can use whoever you want.
Well, yeah, I saw that on your tweet the other day. maybe it was yesterday, you would ask people about like their like low scoring games or whatever. And Thrash responded. Also, Thrash, congrats on the wedding coming up this week.
Yes, congrats, dude. Thrash is getting married.
He is getting married in Disney World. He showed his like recent games and they were all these high scoring games. And I was thinking, like, what game are you playing? Yeah. Because I've never seen that.
I don't know. Guys, in the comment section down below, let us know if you guys are, give us your division in Rivals, if you matchmake glitch, and what your score is. Because I don't matchmake glitch because people would probably just, you know, roast me senseless and call me like, you know, a shitter or something. But I don't matchmake glitch. I'm in Division One, just on the cusp. I'm in between, like, I get to like 2200, and it's 2-2. It's 2-1. It's 3-2 at, you know what I mean? It's 1-0. Like, yep. I told B-Wubs, who's a very good player. I was like, checking my goalie stats. And I was 71-56 with Rene. 71-56 with Hut Champs in Division One Rivals. 85% save percentage. He is like, I don't understand. No one can tell me how. And maybe I just play very good defense, which is maybe the case, but everyone can play good defense. Yeah. And just scoring is just so hard. But I don't want to talk about not scoring anymore because, like, we always talk about that.
Yeah, we did that last week, yeah.
But let's talk. Okay, so this event, let's do real quick. With a four in a row, we can do this pretty easily. Omark's last, Pedersen's third.
Line A and Nash are tied.
Yeah, it's opinion. Whatever you need. If you don't have McDavid or Rantanen, then I would probably make Nash first. But Line A's, there were so many good righties at the beginning of the year.
And I think now it was there's none.
Like it's so weird because I went months with saying left-handers just don't have anyone really big.
Yeah.
Right. Like, can you, like, I don't know, like, cause all the X factors are small.
No, but right? Now I'm at the point with like how I'm building my team where I'm running a second line with three wingers and I just never have them on the ice for a face off. Because I have a lot of good left-handed shots. Does that sound stupid to you?
I don't know if I would put that on my second line.
There's not a lot of good, I guess there's not a lot of good depth at center for elite players. There are a lot of amazing wingers. There are not a lot of amazing centers.
Follow me. Let me ask you this, because if you don't make a manual change, your second line will come out. Oh no, I guess to the face-off, as long as you're paying attention.
As long as I'm paying attention on the face-off, I want them to come out on the fly.
Yeah, you want them to come out mid-play. Okay, that makes sense. That's interesting. Yeah. So again, for anyone that's in GWC, we can make a blanket statement here. Make Line A 100% if you can make Nash as well.
I made both of them.
Yeah, Line A 100%, and if you can make Nash, would be my recommendations.
Yeah, they're like the two most, like, it's, thank you, Nasher. Thank you for me.
I was like, my God, he's going to get Line A.
I was grinning to myself here while you were talking like 2 minutes ago. How funny would it have been if you were one of the people chosen to have a Master Set player after last week? And you picked like Chara. With Chara with shutdown.
I'm not gonna out that. Okay, so yeah, that would have been bad. Yeah.
Yeah, that would have been great. So dude, GWC, I still haven't registered because I have until the 13th. And they also make it to where you have to like link your account on the website for the registration. And like, I forget my like login.
This happens every year.
And it happened to me last year too. And it took me a while to figure it out. So I still have to register. But can you explain some of these things to me? Because does it matter who your favorite team is that you pick at the time? Does any of this matter?
Okay. It does. This year, I think the format is the most flushed out it's ever been. So I think, actually, one second. It's definitely the most flushed out it's ever been. And I'll explain this. I just have a lot of Discord messages. Give me one second. I just want to make sure nothing's like blowing up. And no, we're good. Sorry, guys. My apologies. I get nervous when I get a ton of notifications without seeing them. So what happens is when you guys sign up, it'll ask you who your preferred team is, your favorite team is. It definitely matters this year. It mattered last year, but this year, for sure, same kind of situation. So what will happen, guys, is let's pretend you sign up and you qualify and you make the top 32. Okay, first week, the top 32 players, it's like a Hut Champ style. It's 25 games instead of 20, but it runs from Wednesday at midnight all the way until Sunday at midnight to get an extra day. And it's a full day because it starts at Wednesday at midnight. And what'll happen is whoever finishes top 32, it's win-based again. the top 32, they will be automatically put into the team that they want to represent. So you want to pick your favorite team more often than not. It really doesn't give you any advantages. Last year, it kind of mattered because there was a divisional round where like the winners, like, so the Boston Bruin rep had to play the Tampa Bay Lightning rep, like, eventually. And that definitely mattered because, you know, some of the big, big guns were like, okay, I don't want to, you know what I mean? Like Regs and Gren, for example, were like, okay, I'm not going to pick a Atlantic team if you're going to pick, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that makes sense because they don't want to, you want to give yourself the easiest run. No matter what, it's going to be difficult, especially this year, like the way the game is. But so if you sign up and you pick your favorite team, what'll happen is, let's say you finish first overall this week, the first week, okay, and you're a fan of the Toronto Maple Leafs, you will be automatically put into the qualifier to represent the Toronto Maple Leafs in the GWC, okay? And then second overall, let's say you pick the Pittsburgh Penguins. You will be the Pittsburgh Penguins rep. Let's say third overall, you pick the Pittsburgh Penguins. That's already been taken. You will be given a random team, okay?
Yeah.
And then it'll keep going, right? So as long as your team isn't taken, let's say you're 17th and you pick the San Jose Sharks because no one else picked them, you'll be the San Jose Shark representative. And it keeps going until all 32 teams are taken. Then the second week, the 33 to 64. So whoever, the people that qualify week one, they can't qualify again. They can't play in the second week. You'll get a collect. You won't get a collectible to be allowed to play in that qualifier, the open qualifier. So if you don't qualify in week one, you will get a collectible to play in week two. So let's say you get top 32 again. This time, you'll be completely randomized. So 33rd, you're technically ranked 33rd to 64. So it makes one, it's 100% to your advantage to try as hard as you can in week one so that you are, you know, in whatever team you pick. But where it'll matter is, so let's say whoever finishes 15th in week two, they are the Toronto Maple. They get paired with the Toronto Maple Leafs who finished 101 in week one. They'll play the first round that they will play. It'll be offline. It will be out of the game. It'll be on Battlefy. They will play to represent the Toronto Maple Leafs. So that first round after the 64 have been chosen on every console, they will play to represent the Toronto Maple Leafs. Okay. And then you're into the round of 32 where it's just team reps, right?
Okay, and it's not aligned by division at all. It's literally
It is
seated.
Aligned by where you ranked. So let's say...
And it's reseeded after that.
It appears to be. So again, this is the best format. So if you finish 101, the Toronto Maple Leafs, you win the qualifier to represent the Toronto Maple Leafs, you win that first series. The next series, let's say someone in week two wins the Dallas Stars. So let's say 58th. Okay, he finished 27th or 28th in week two. Okay, so he's technically ranked in the 50s because it's, you know, 1 to 64. He beats whoever finished in week one as the Dallas Stars rep. Then 101 will play 58th ranked Dallas Stars rep, right? Mm-hmm. So it allows you to get the easiest run because you deserve it because you qualified. And so I think it is definitely the best format for sure.
Okay. And it's interesting because, like, on PS5, I know Junior Pens is going to pick the Penguins, right? It makes zero sense for me as a Penguins fan to pick the Penguins because no matter what, that first round, I would have to play him.
No, okay.
Right? No. After you said the reps play the reps, right? In the first...
In the second week, so 33 to 64,
yeah,
completely random. It doesn't matter what team you picked. You will be complete. You will be given. You will go to a completely random team. Doesn't matter who you set as preferred. That's what happened last year. So week one, you get, if you win the top 32 and your team hasn't been selected yet, you will get whatever team that you select as your favorite team. But then week two, if you set your favorite team as the Pittsburgh Penguins, you have a 1-in-32 shot of getting the Pittsburgh Penguins qualifier against Junior Pens.
No, it would still be the highest qualified Pittsburgh Penguins that selected them as their favorite team that gets it. Because that happened to me last year. I played in week two. I didn't play in week one. And I had the Red Wings picked as my favorite team. I finished like first or second in that week two qualifier and I got the Red Wings. And it wasn't like a, you know, so it's like that's what happened last year.
Okay, it's not what's happening this year. So okay, in week two, whoever finishes in week two, whoever finishes in week two, or qualifies week two, you'll be given a random team qualifier.
Okay.
It's completely random. So if you don't have to worry about playing.
I just have to play. I mean, I guess unless one of us don't qualify.
There is no disadvantage to trying to compete for your favorite team, which is how it should be. Because it shouldn't be like, oh, Gren is a Sharks fan and I don't want to play Gren, so I'm not going to pick the Sharks. No, I mean, not that I would finish higher than him, but like as an example, like pick your favorite team.
How do you feel this year? It going to, there's a lot to discuss actually about the format. Yeah. So two from whenever you make it to the live finals, right?
Eight people, two from each console.
That means two players from PS4 in North America, two players from Xbox One, right? Those consoles have completely dwindled skill compared to the next gen consoles.
Correct.
Do you think there should be more qualifiers from the next gen consoles, or do you think it's okay?
Okay. So from like a competitive standpoint, it should just be next gen. Mm-hmm. Because that is where I can't think of a play. I can maybe think of one or two players that, haven't been able to get a new console. The problem is that you can't as an organization. So like the NHL as a league, you can't say, oh, you can't afford a PS5. Well, you're not competing in our tournament, especially the NHL, because they're all about like they're trying to, be all about inclusion now. So I understand that, like, and it's not their fault.
No, it's EA. Not.
Like, it's EA's fault. Like, let's be clear.
For
here.
Not
it's EA's
cross fault. Cross-gen, cross-platform, whatever.
Now, next year, I don't know. Like, if there's an old-gen game, I don't know if they, say, okay, that's enough. We did our due diligence this year. But what I would say is that if you have a next-gen game, you have the old-gen game. So, I believe. Even if you don't have, I think the standard one doesn't, but if you bought like the deluxe or whatever, you got the old one. Let's pretend they just give you a copy of that, because at the stage where you draft a team or whatever, everyone's on the same playing field and EA could just give you your team.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of wish that it went that route at a certain point. So like PS5 guys, they played against PS4 guys, but just on the PS4 game. The problem is that you don't want to be showing that, like, I don't know. I honestly don't know, because, like, I know the broadcasts are going to show, and you don't want to show the old-gen game, like, a lot. Like, I don't know. They're in a tough spot. I can say that. Like,
And you had mentioned some of the players that were on old-gen, and I think all of them that are playing on old-gen have a new-gen console.
100%, bro. Like, yeah. I don't blame them. Like,
no, I don't either.
Yeah, like, it's going to be a far easier run on PS4 and PS5 than it is on Xbox. And on the next gen, the way that this game plays, my God, I can't wait to see what the final 8 is.
I think this year, I was talking in my stream yesterday, and Gren showed up, because I'm glad, because we were talking about like what the chances are. People that come to my channel obviously want to see me win. I'm like, guys, it might be like a 1-2% chance that I make that final 8 in Montreal. And those are good odds. And I was like, even taking, like, let's say Gren's the best player on PS5. I give him a 10% chance at making that final 8 in Montreal. And it's not because he's not the best player. If he is, it's just the game is so random.
You have to get, so when it gets down to the final 4 on each console, okay, when 16 people are left, there's a draft. But it's also, it's best of 3, double elimination. Whereas all the way up to that, it's single elimination, best of 3. You are gonna see, like, the best of 3 helps it a little bit, because I remember the first year of Hutt, it was like, it was BO1s, like, it was
single
elim
BO1.
Yep, dude. So I will say the best of 3 saves quite a bit of it, but you are gonna see some big names bow out when they, if you played a best of 7, I like a 0% chance that guy wins 4 games, right?
Yeah.
I think this year is the year that you're going to see a lot of parity. I could be completely wrong, but I think that this year you're going to see a lot of guys that no one knows, like rookie GWC players. I will say this will be the year that the most rookie GWC players will make it. That will be my guess. Gren has made it to the regional stage every single year. That in itself is incredible. I mean, there's only been one other person that's done that, and that's John Wayne. And so, like that's impressive to see. And I think Junior Penn's actually, and Sitful, now that I think about it. But Sitful never makes it far.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks to me. Yeah. I'm just kidding. Just joking. I'm joking.
But yeah, so there's been a few, but like Gren has made it to Vegas or the finals like every year, which is like, it's crazy. This year, it could be the time that he doesn't, like, not that I would not put money that he wouldn't make it, but it is going to be awfully tough, because this game, I don't want to say sit in the middle of the skill zone. If you just play inside the face-off dots, and you aren't just standing still, like, you play decent defense, but you play inside the face-off dots, it is just so hard to score Like
it is, and then if and the goalies are so good, right? So if he's going up against a post-to-post goalie, maybe there's some other abilities on there. I mean, it's so hard to win consistently in this game, and there's a lot of good players.
It blows my mind, and I think this is a reason why I'm so hard on myself this year, because this year, I've said it many times, it's the worst I've been statistically. I'm still Division One, but like it is, I lose to people I've never heard of, and that sounds like bad and egotistical, but like if you play this game enough and you're involved in esports enough, like I've covered pretty much every single 1v1 event for the last 4 years. Like I've been the broadcaster for it, including the GWC. So like even if someone hasn't qualified, I see someone in a bracket, I know who they are. Like you know, the amount of tags that I'll lose to and they're good that I have no, and I can like, there's a difference between me losing 2-1 and I should have won or it's close. And then there's a difference between me where I can tell probably within the first 5 minutes if this dude is like cracked. The amount of players on PS5, I don't know how everyone got so good. Like I mean,
it's just the information age, right? Like, so there's Twitch, I'm streaming on their Grand Regs. All those people stream every game, right? You can see how every top player plays. There's tips, by the way. A lot of information I'm putting out this year has not been put on YouTube before. Like the stuff that separates like those top 10 to 20 players from like the Division One players, right? So it's all that stuff's out there, I think.
This year also has the least amount of those kinds of things. So yes. I'll give you an example. Like the stuff that you've shown this year would be considered hella basic to even 21. So let's take 21, for example, the slap shot at the faceoff dot short side, which is, it took a little bit of it. Like, so you come down the wing in 21 and you wind up for a slap shot at the faceoff dot and you aim short side, not far side, which is kind of awkward to do. That was a goal. Like that was a goal that would go in quite a bit in 99 Hut. Same with the wrap around. And then if you fire upstairs on the face off, it's things too, that you had to learn. Like it was mechanic goals that you had to learn that separated the Division One from the GWC. There's none of that.
And I know Gren's shaking in his chair, like, cause he knows three in practice mode, but like there, I don't see any of these goals used online. And that is what separated, like if you played somebody in GWC that was like a top five like contender or something, they would score those every single time, and there's none of those goals that you can rely on. So now the only thing you're relying on is cross creases, breakaways, and then it's like you had the abilities in there from the goalies where they save 30-50% of those, and it's just a crapshoot.
And that, a lot of people might say that that's okay. Like, you know, no glitches. Like, you're saying, oh, you want glitches in the game. That's not it. I'm saying, like, what ends up happening when there isn't goals that are tough to learn. So we'll take the one that's really popular this year. The only one, essentially, is the Pogues one that he kind of made famous in Tampa in the Tampa Bay Lightning esports event, where you hold L2 behind your opponent's net and you weave back and forth until the goaltender kind of hugs the one bar. But you have to wait. You have to be running behind the net. You have to wait for your winger to come in, and then you have to fire a pass that is very tough to like learn and figure out.
Yeah.
Because it is not easy, because you have to miss the net and hit the player, and that's strategy based, not a glitch. And that is really the only one, and it's not easy. So the reason why that's important is because when you take those things away, that someone has to spend a lot of time in the lab in practice mode, you know, it's what made you a game changer. Is you would go into practice mode and you would find what would get the goalie to sit up and hug the post in a weird way, what motions would. It's because, not because you would rely on those goals all game long, but maybe there is a rush where that goal is available and you take that because you practice it and you can hit it against the best players in the world. And one goal in most cases is gigantic when you're playing guys that are at the best in the world. Yeah. So when you don't have any of that, you don't have a skill gap.
And yeah, because that was the nice thing about those, right? Like if you could score from those angles, it made people play defense and not just crowd the net.
Exactly, right? And now there is none of that, so they don't have to. Point shots are... one thing we do need to talk about in terms of GWC is something that the last little bit we'll get into about GWC this episode, because D2D one timers do not go in for the most part at all. They're down to about, I would say, 10% success rate. Mm-hmm. If you extrapolated them out, unless you have something specific. But And while everyone's like, oh, dude, that's such a crap way to score. Yes, but when you are facing players that are using Protect Net and collapsing, one of the things that they are allowing is you to take wide open D2D one-timers. Those need to go in to stop that, mm-hmm. right? Because if those don't go in, you're just giving up possession. You're not scoring, and now they get to go the other way, and you're going to see a lot of games that are 0-0. You're going to see the lowest scoring GWC would be my bet.
Yeah, see the lowest scoring GWC. $1,000 on that right now.
Yep, like yeah. It is going to be very silly. So nice little segue. And again, guys, for the players that aren't in GWC, I completely understand why you would hate that type of gameplay. We're just trying to give you a reasoning as to why this year, for the people that are going to try to qualify GWC, it's going to be very difficult. Like, you are going to, and if you are good at HUT, you should be trying for GWC, especially this year, because you have no idea.
Yeah.
You have no idea. Like, it's wild, man. But let's talk about, I mentioned D2D one-timers. We talk about that a lot. Let's talk about some abilities that you think is going to be extremely important on GWC teams, because now we have the AP changes that are, you know, and they're all solidified and whatnot, and nothing's changing. I don't think they're going to make one more change at all after what happened. So this is what we've got.
Yeah.
So what are some of the things that you were looking for in terms of ability points? Let's each go back and forth. So give me one that you think you need to have on one or two players.
Close quarters.
Okay. Explain why and how you use it.
Yeah. So the reason Primo came out with it, Rick Nash came out with it, and then I have a couple other players that have the silver ability. In this game specifically, whenever you get those chances close to the net, goalies make those saves way more than they did in prior years, right? Close quarters gives you an increased accuracy and power on those shots. So whenever you do get a prime scoring chance, you're scoring that at a higher rate with close quarters. So I'm somebody that gets a fair amount of those chances, right? I want to score those whenever I get a chance. And then especially in those tight games against good players, you want to score the 3 to 4 chances that you do get. So I'm eyeing up forwards with that ability right now.
I'll just to piggyback on close quarters. So Primo, such a good card. Good card. The one of the more popular ways to score on a breakaway or partial breakaway is to go forehand, backhand, forehand upstairs. If you're coming down on the left side or the right side, doesn't matter. With close quarters specifically, guys, it activates anytime that you're above the hash marks. So everyone thinks that you got to be in the crease. And I did. I mean, we talked about that. We didn't, you know, at the beginning of the year. But it's anytime. It'll activate anytime above the hash marks there. You can score that backhand that forehand, backhand, forehand goal like 5 feet out with Primo. Like it is absurd. And some other things I've noticed is on a rebound, if you just get it quickly and fire it, it'll go through a goalie. Like,
I scored a weird one 5-hole today with him.
It's 5-hole. About to say that. Yeah. It's like it finds the open spot or,
I don't know if it does that or there's like a delayed reaction from the goalie. Yeah. I don't know if it messes with the goalie's animations at all, but you just score more of those.
Also, I think it almost all but eliminates. So in sixes, something that's been outed is where someone will send in Ben Ross clips of like a sniper build missing a wide open net. And he's stated publicly that sometimes there's human error accounted because in the real thing that there is, which makes me terrified because it's like, wait a minute. There's your programming missing.
Yeah.
Because that's a whole other tinfoil hat thing. But I think it all but eliminates that with close quarters. Like, it will, if you have a 99 shooter and he hits close quarters and there's a shot, like, it will hit the net, which is important. So, close quarters, definitely the one I have noticed a lot on. The other one I want to talk about specifically, and I'm actually going to give you, maybe I will, I don't know. Maybe I'll make it in a future video. Actually, wait, this is Tuesday. It's coming out Tuesday. No, I'll talk about it. Okay, I can talk about it here. I watch your stream quite regularly now. And you have Zach Werenski and Gold 1T, which is a very rare ability. Gold 1T, that is 1,000% the way that you can score D2D one-timers.
Yes.
Like, to increase your odds at it, I would say it's a 10%. So if 10% of the time you take D2D one-timers, and only with lefties really, far side, low blocker, it'll go in. I would say it's a 20 to 25% with Gold 1T.
With crash the net full shooting too, if you want to include that in your video sleeves. I don't know what you're having in your video, but if you're having
mine was gonna be a card recommendation, but I'll get to that in a second.
Okay, yeah, good enough.
But yeah, so you notice that a lot, right?
Yes.
Okay, so when it comes to GWC, the reason why I want to bring this up is that Zach Werenski, now I've talked about it a little bit in my videos, and I don't know if that's why it's not available or just a lot of people didn't make or don't have him, didn't pull him when the event was on. But we now know, because we've gotten a few events, since Shutdown isn't nearly as popular, I don't see Shutdown at all anymore. Very rarely do I see Shutdown. Yeah, it makes it.
It's almost like the change improved the game.
Weird. I didn't see that coming at all.
I can't believe it. Wild to me.
Yeah. But D2D one timers with gold one T, like, yeah, you hear it. First of all, like, if you play with game sound on, it sounds like a cannon. But Zach Werenski is like the end all be all one that's out right now. So GWC qualifiers start in a week and a half, week and 3 days, right? So we know, we might get a gold one T on one of the defenders that comes out next week, because this event is only 1 week and there's no defenseman in it, as far as master sets go. But Werenski looks to be the one that is going to be a catalyst for those DD one time, and he's just not available on the market. So
no.
In my opinion, silver one T, if you have Hedman, if you have Coburn, needs to be on only with lefties. I still don't think righties can score, whether it's the,
I'm in the like, same boat, because I only have it activated on Coburn and Werenski, and I have Hedman on the left side, so there's no need to have it activated.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah, and for anyone that says, yeah, I score all the time with righties, I would love to see a clip.
I don't see it. I've tried it.
I've taken like 50, and I've never scored on the right side off a clean one-timer. But that being said, so shout out to Padre, because I'm now so annoyed with this Werenski thing, because I'm never going to, and I have like 500,000-600,000 coins ready, but he is never on the market. And I don't think he will be leading up to GWC, because now this is when all of the guys that are so into this game, you just will not, if Werenski hits the market now, if you have Werenski, put him up for 700. I bet you someone buys him. I bet you for 700,000 coins, if you have Zach Werenski and you don't find the 1T all that great, put him up for 700,000 coins, I bet you someone buys him. To be honest, I probably will. But I'm at a point now where I've been doing my stats, and I'm ready to break down Larkin, who I made untradeable because I thought that he was going to be the one. But for whatever reason, he doesn't perform well for me. A lot of people think that, or he performs well for a lot of people, just not for me. So I'm about to break him down and take the half of the collectibles I got from him, and then make Werenski at the just stupid price.
Oh, yeah, because they were in the same event, yeah, right?
But it's okay. Double the cost. So like, yeah. I don't know. If I get desperate and I really want it, but I don't need him. That being said, there's a couple cards. Shout out to Padre, because he found this one. One I will state first is the Nation's Dougie Hamilton, 6'6", gold 1T. 91
right-handed
speed.
Right-handed shot though.
But I haven't seen a gold right. Like I haven't
tried it actually, because yeah, there's been silver 1T ones, but there hasn't been a gold.
Exactly, right? So that's one that I'm curious about. But the other one is Team of the Week 91, Oliver Ekman-Larsson. He is like 80K and gold 1T and roughly around the same, you know, it's about like two less stats on everything than Werenski, and he's a fraction of the price. So for anyone that is looking to try gold 1T and you want it on one of your pairs for, you know, to be able to do one-timers, that would be the one I would recommend.
Yeah.
Any other ones?
Right now, how I'm running my team, it's close quarters and 1T. And then I have light work on my goalie. And then I have one forward, one center with silver quick draw. So almost I'm literally running like 3 to 4 abilities. That's it.
I have gotten to the point now where like, because I 1T, silver 1T works with Coburn and Hedman. I'm, because we talked about this before about how passing is so broken, especially going backwards or you go D2D. My right-handed defenseman has tape to tape. I want to say it's Burns. Mm-hmm. I put tape to tape on Burns to try and make sure that his passes to Hedman or Coburn
that's
are like,
hilarious.
Yeah, like that's how important I think that that is, because again, guys, you have to consider what you're going up against, and it's defense has never been easier. I mean, dude, I might not win all my games, but my goaltender has like a 2-goal against average and 85% save percentage. Like, so I'm losing, but I'm not like, if I can do it, you guys can do it, right? Like that's what it'll end up being. So I'm trying to lean into whatever can just give me those kinds of advantages. Close quarters for sure. I'm trying to think of anything else, because I've messed around with like Shutdown. If you have 99 po checking, I don't think it matters as much. You know, same thing with elite edges. If you have 99 agility, I just can't see it. Like if I can't visually see what these things, truculence is a good one. That's another one I would consider, because that can injure guys. But I'm not even really activating a lot of silver things.
Here's a question for you that might help you think about it differently. Because we're thinking about it in our shoes, right? If you're a Division mm-hmm. II player that's mm-hmm. trying to play in a way that gives you the best chance at winning, what abilities would you activate? Because I wouldn't, if I was in their shoes, I would not activate close quarters.
Yeah, so, okay. If that's the case, definitely 1T.
Yes.
If you're a Division II, you have to activate 1T. The next one, I'm not even lying, might be wheels.
Okay.
But
I don't agree with that, but
I don't either. I'm trying to think because I don't know what other ones I would activate.
I would do truculence because that's frustrating to play against because a lot of the Division I players play the puck control style. And if you get bumped with truculence, I can't talk. You lose the puck, right? So I would go right off the bat, truculence and 1T.
I take away wheels because I don't think wheels is important because everyone has high skating now. You're right. It's definitely truculence. Dude, you know what one I want to see is Spinorama.
It's only on like that Malkin MSP that came out. And that's actually a good ability because the Spinorama, and I did a video on this a month or two ago, it's very useful.
Same.
But you get a weak shot after it. So if you have that ability, it might be good, but there's no cards. And that's why we didn't know that close quarters was so good in Hutt. It was because there were no cards that came out all year with
that
it.
That Ray Ferraro at the beginning of the year, that one that everyone got.
Yeah, and I was so mad I didn't use it. I was like, I don't want this card.
I think something else to talk about, like in terms of team building for GWC, you need one centerman needs to have gold quick draw, or at least silver. But if you can, I think if you have Jokinen, it depends on who you go up against, right?
Like if you're playing against somebody that has silver or gold quick draw, you would need it. But if you're playing against somebody that doesn't use the ability, then all you need is silver quick draw.
True. Yeah, I guess that would be the way to do it.
So I guess on the safe side, use gold.
Because if you have Jokinen, the reason why Jokinen is so good, I've talked about the faceoff rating not meaning as much as we thought in prior years, but it still does, and especially at the highest level, because everyone knows every counter, and it's very difficult to win consistently against someone who's very good at the game. Quick draw, if you have gold quick draw, that means that if you tie up, you will win, and if you do the exact same move as someone else, you will win if you have 99 faceoffs and gold quick draw, and you're going up against someone that doesn't have that. Right. Mm-hmm. So that's why I think Jokinen is very important to have at least as your fourth liner. Like if you again for GWC teams, but or even if you're not, like if he's going to be your first liner, second liner, I think that's because that is a ability that you can quantify and see. Schnipe, I don't think does anything.
And I tried out the gold version on line A and I didn't notice a thing. And I was scoring without it.
You scored a short side wrister with line A, and I was like, what in the world?
It's because he's 6'5".
You haven't, dude, we haven't seen it. Guys, if you've seen short side wrister blocker side with a righty this year, let us know because that's another thing that's just gone from the game.
So I said in a podcast, I want to say like 15 episodes ago, that the taller players are not only better because of their balance, right? They weigh more, they're bigger, they're harder to knock off the puck. It's because the stick, right, reaches out further. So whenever, if you're Patrick Laine, you're skating down the left side, you cut across the middle and you hold the puck out further, the goalie moves over further, so you're able to shoot back to the opposite side for a short side shot, which I guess would be far side at that point. So that's a little bit more evidence to that theory I had.
Also on wraparounds. Like if you do the, that's a very common goal.
Well,
like
you can't score it with like the Brinkat, right? Because he's 5'7". The puck's coming from where he is.
That's why we talk about guys that are so big. But again, like if you're in a lower division, it really doesn't matter in that sense. But yeah, like for GWC, that's definitely, I would say I have a feeling because of how this year's gone, when we've told or they've brought up in like Twitch and like, you know, the guys that are hanging on the content team they're on Reddit a lot. Like they pay attention to what the community kind of wants to see in terms of like abilities and stuff. So, you know, shutdown, you won't see someone who's like 6'5" and above with gold shutdown.
After again. Hedman got released.
I don't think we'll see that until it doesn't matter. Like after GWC is what I mean.
Yeah.
So that being said, like gold 1T is like a hot topic, not just because I'm saying it. Like, again, you watch Kesso's stream, how many times he takes that shot with Rensky, you can hear it because you don't play music, which is so weird to me. But I respect it.
Yeah, like I don't because like so there were a couple people I watched whenever I started the stream that I tried to not emulate, but I thought like, oh, those guys are like really good at what they do. One of them was OG Kevin Bacon. Sorry, Slee, this is one of you. I think you're great. OG Kevin Bacon's really good at interacting
with shit.
No, you're amazing. If I could get to where you are, that'd be great. You know that.
You don't want to be there lately, brother. Let me tell you.
But OG Kevin Bacon's like literally like a 98 overall streamer to me.
He's great, dude.
Because his personality and how he interacts with chat, right? And then the other one was somebody I only watched a couple times because he only streams games I don't really play, and that's that Mills guy that you like.
God, I love Mills.
He's like real. He's polished and he's good, right? And I don't know if they play music or not, but they're so good at interacting with their chat and communicating with people and building that, like, whenever I watch their channels, I'm like, I want to get a beer with this guy and hang out with him for like 5 hours. So like, I try to do that. Not that I have that same personality, but I want people to come to my channel and like interact with me and talk to me just for me. And I guess the gameplay, cause that's probably why half the people are there. Right. So that's one of the reasons, you know, for the no music thing. It was like a firm decision. I'm not going to do this.
I respect it. Also, I don't have to worry about DMCA.
Yeah, that was all. That was probably 80% of it. But that was a nice story I just told. So
that's no. I wasn't taking a shot at you, but like when you hear 1T activate on your stream, and you'll hear it 15 times a game, it's like you clearly see that this is something. And you have to remember, guys, we're at 99 hut. Now is when you are going to see abilities kind of take over. Because now when everyone is at the same level, there is no discrepancies. 99 Hut sucks. It is awful. But the only thing now that will break it is when the abilities that don't just impact stats, they give you an animation. That is when those will take over.
Mm-hmm.
Like Truculence. Like Truculence doesn't make your body check and go to 99. It allows you to absolutely crush someone's bones.
Yeah, like, so I wish we could I guess you could offline, right? What would a player that's like 5'7", 130 pounds with gold truculence do with like 60 body checking? Would it still be insane body checks?
I would love to be able to test it. I mean,
you can't offline.
Yeah, but I wonder what that actually, yo, I would love to do a test of that.
There's your next YouTube video, or mine, but I mean...
Interesting.
That's it
interesting.
Is, right? It is. Like, which one's actually, like, if it's a gold 1T shot from, like, a 50 overall player. You know, like, stuff like that.
I think it's... I've mentioned this before about... And it kind of sucks. But Truculence... I mentioned this to EA Hawk. For anyone that doesn't know, EA Hawk's the content developer. I mentioned this, that the reason why Adam Fox, the team of the year, is so underwhelming is because this year, small players don't bump guys off the puck at all on defense. They just don't. Like in 21, you know, if you had 99 body check with Makar, he would bump people off the puck and it was like, wow, finally. This year, it's like back to the old games. And I was like, try it with Truculence. And it works. Like if you have a guy that's like 5'11 with Truculence, he can bump people off the puck. But then it's such a crutch. Like it's like, you know, Quinn Hughes is not known for bone rattling hits, so he's got to have truculence.
Did you see the Theo Fleury that came out was 5'6" with gold truculence?
That is the forward PK Subban. Like, I want to try that card, but I can't spend the 200,000 coins that it will cost to get him.
Yeah,
because like, you know what I mean. But like, that is a card that just looks like fun. I'm trying to focus on that more.
Fly around, and just level people.
I saw in in the video where I was reviewing those cards that someone said that like he's a fun card and he's fast, but yeah, the second you breathe on him, he just goes flying. Like you just lose that. Same with Patrick Kane. Like it's unfortunate, and EA won't find a way to make them viable. But because
the game's not designed for like this 99, and it's never designed with 99 hut in mind. So until they change their gameplay development process, it's always going to be like this every year.
And I don't think we'll ever see that, to be honest. In the entirety of HUT, we won't ever see a point where they prioritize that.
Yeah.
Maybe one day. But
I doubt
anything else?
No, I'm excited for GWC. I'm excited to, you know, play some meaningful games. Would you just think of something?
Dude, are you... Okay, so GWC qualifiers in prior years took much longer. The process this year, because it's on four consoles... The same amount of players qualify, so there's 256, right, that get to, like, the club qualifier stage, which is the first round this year. But because it was 4 weeks long in prior years, because it's only 2 weeks, again, for the average player, you guys don't care about GWC, and a lot of people on my channel probably won't, but you will see the interest in NHL absolutely crater this on Sunday at midnight of
the
March
26th,
March 26th, to the point where the market, whatever card you want, you'll be able to afford. And that's fun, but it's before team of the season. And yeah, well, the one thing that will hold it up is that, you know, the 64 people, or the 32 players on every console will still, actually, no, 16 will be. Oh my God, dude.
No, well, no, after there's the 2 weeks of qualifiers, when
yeah,
do
it's
you
April.
Get,
it'd be in middle of April, yeah.
Is it, you have to wait a month almost?
No, like, because you play that second round, the round of 64 and the round of 32 on the same day. You play two series.
In the middle of April, in the middle of April,
it's April 9th and 10th.
Oh, April 9th is my birthday.
Oh, nice. Okay. So yeah, it's like 2 weeks after.
I know what I'll be doing unless I don't qualify.
If you guys want to make bank, any gold 1T big time defenseman, by the time that when it's like the 32 guys are about to play, or the 64, they are going to spend, dude, Justice and Noonan, who was a master set last year in January, was going for like 800,000 coins because was the meta goalie. Yeah. Like, you had to have him, and you're going to see some cards that you wouldn't normally expect go for dumb prices. And I guarantee you, Werenski will be one. Like, I think that he would be, but I just don't think there's one. Pekka Rinne will be another one. And because the new master sets coming out aren't gigantic, it's going to be a little interesting there. But yeah, I'm the one thing I'll say, I mean, can I say this? Leak it out, I guess.
Yeah.
I will not be allowed to qualify for GWC. Okay, spoiler alert. It looks like, knock on wood, I will not be allowed to qualify for GWC because I'll be working it. Not that I would qualify at all anyways. But, like, obviously that means my interest is, like, even less than it is now because you build the team with, like, okay, I'm going to try for the GWC, right? Like, a lot of HUT players do that. But, man, MLB comes out April 1st. That is a hard switch, and I'm excited for that. I don't know.
All I ask is whenever you're working this thing, you have a podcast to plug at some point, you know?
Dude, you think I should do it?
Well, here's the thing, especially if I'm playing, if you're like doing like, I don't know what your role is. I don't know what your role is, but this has been a trial run this year and it's been a lot of fun. Like, I look forward to this every week. This is like one of the content related things besides streaming that I don't mind doing.
This is the one thing that I think has not gotten a piece of negative feedback.
Yeah, there's one or two comments like you talk over me. We talk about our personal lives too much, random things. But like overall, it's a good thing. Right. And it's something I want to continue well past whenever I'm done playing NHL 22 into the summer. So like whatever you can do on the, whatever role yours is, like we got to keep this. NHL 23 is going to be a huge year for Coffee and Cho.
Oh my God. Guys, he's already starting. 23 is my year.
I told my editor, Nathan, I'm like, dude, we're doing good this year. We're going to be huge in 23. I'm not going to be huge. Like my skills will diminish, but you know, the content side.
We need a game. So I hate to break it to you, but I know. We won't have a good game to play.
It doesn't matter. People buy it every year.
It's true. I'm just kidding. Yeah, I know. No, you're right, man. I think that Coffee and Show is, again, this year has been the best and worst for me as a content creator. This is definitely the lowest of the high portion of my career. And I don't know how much higher I can go. So low, it might just keep going down eventually. But Coffee and Shell has been my favorite portion probably of this year, I think, because there's not been a lot. And we appreciate you guys listening. Like, yes. We wouldn't be able to keep doing this without...
If people didn't listen, we would just be like two dorks.
I'm not getting up on a Sunday night. It's 10 p.m. I usually go to bed around now. Like, yeah. I'm not going downstairs to talk with you for an hour if 400 people listen. So.
I know, right? I can't believe how many people listen to this.
I can't believe how many people when we can't record it and it doesn't come out on Tuesday, how many DMs and tweets we get.
Oh, there's one more thing I have to say. And I mention this all the time through the podcast. Guys, I stream on Twitch and I post videos on YouTube. There's so many times where somebody goes into my channel and they're like, oh, I just thought you were on the podcast. I didn't know you streamed on here. Guys, I stream on Twitch like four times a week.
Lunch hour.
Yeah. Stop by sometime.
Absolutely. You got to stop by.
Yeah.
100%. I mean, I love our podcast, man. And I don't know where we're going to go with it in the summertime. I mean, we have to have Padre on once or he simply won't stop bugging us. So I think we're going to start doing
Padre
interviews.
Might be the first episode that we have a guest. You know?
Yeah, just to make him stop. Like, I think that's it. But no, absolutely. So guys, again, let us know what you think in the comments section and don't be join our Discords.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. You can go 100%. You can find mine on YouTube.
Yeah, there's absolutely. Make sure you sub, dude. If 3,000 people watch this, and Kesso's got less than 3,000 subs on YouTube,
I have like 1,700.
I'm mad. If there's 3,000 views, I literally put his YouTube in the description if you're watching this video.
And it's so better than Sleeves is. No, I'm just kidding. I don't post that often.
You know what my favorite is about you watching you? Huh. Is you are doing exactly what I did 5 years ago. And yeah. you're at the port where you can do no wrong. And I love it. You're just having fun and your tip videos are great. And like, again, you can do no wrong. All your stuff's so good, man.
Thank you.
I'd be worried if you did this full time.
You never have to worry about that, so we're you good.
Never say never, bro. I didn't think I'd be here either.
You never have to worry about that.
You never know.
Let me justify to my wife. Hey, I work in finance. Let me just stop doing this right now with my 2,000 YouTube subscribers and go over.
All right,
to,
when you put
Twitch.
It in that context, maybe not. But
yeah.
All right, guys, that's gonna do it for this week's episode of Coffee and Shell. Thank you guys for listening, and we will see you next week. Have a good one, guys.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.